You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Friday, April 25th, 2025. Only happy when it rains? Counting on a boom in natural gas demand for power? Published by Housley Carr. Rising demand for electricity to serve data centers, manufacturing, and other power-consuming sectors of the economy is spurring the development of scores of gas-fired plants, up 100 gigawatts of new capacity by 2040. How much power those new plants will actually generate, and with that, how much natural gas they will require, remain open questions, however. A recent study indicates that the vast majority of incremental power demand over the next 15 years could be supplied by solar and wind, and that gas demand for power may remain pretty much flat. But the Trump administration's dim view of most renewables and clear preference for fossil fuels suggest otherwise. In today's RBN blog, we discuss gas demand for power in the late 2020s and 2030s. There's been a lot of talk the past few months about artificial intelligence and plans by Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and others to build a slew of data centers, energy hogs that would each require hundreds or even thousands of megawatts of electricity 24/7, 52 weeks a year. These hyperscalers have been considering the full gamut of power generation sources for the juice they'll need, everything from renewables to nuclear, and almost everyone believes gas-fired plants need to be part of the solution. Because plants fueled by readily available, relatively low-cost and clean natural gas can be counted on to provide power around the clock and to balance the ups and downs of solar and wind. A number of major gas producers and just about every big midstreamer with a gas pipeline network have been talking up their plans to serve these new power plants, and several gas-fired projects, many tied directly to data center demand, have already been announced. A few studies have tried to get a handle on how much new generating capacity will be needed to keep pace with rising demand from new data centers, manufacturing plants, and other electricity-intensive sectors, not to mention incremental demand from the electrification of U.S. space heating and transportation. One of the most comprehensive looks at this important topic was released in March by CI Consulting, a division of S&P Global Commodity Insights. In its U.S. National Power Demand Study, which was sponsored by a broad range of energy industry and other players, the American Petroleum Institute, the Clean Energy Buyers Association, the Nuclear Energy Institute, the National Electrical Manufacturers Association, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce among them, CI Consulting said it expects on-grid electricity demand in the lower 48 to increase from 4,170 terawatt hours in 2024 to between 4,734 and 4,970 terawatt hours in 2030, 5,139 and 5,573 terawatt hours in 2035, and 5,591 and 6,127 terawatt hours in 2040. The projected pace of demand growth is several times the modest 0.5% compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, the lower 48 experienced in the 2010 to 2024 period. From 2024 to the midpoint estimate for 2030, 4,852 terawatt hours, the CAGR jumps to more than 2.5%, and from 2030 to 2040, the CAGR, again between the midpoints for those years, is a still strong 1.9%. Nearly 4x the annual pace of electricity demand growth over the past 15 years. The study said the sustained growth is driven by manufacturing and data centers in the near term, and electrification of heating and transportation in the long term. General economic and population growth underpin the outlook along the way. The study takes a decidedly optimistic view about the pace of renewables development, however, one that seems to run head-on into President Trump's bluntly stated opposition to offshore wind, skepticism about onshore wind and solar, and clear preference for natural gas and other fossil fuels. Also, existing and proposed tariffs on China-sourced solar panels may significantly slow the pace of U.S. solar development. Before we discuss the Trump factor, let's look at how the S&P study sees things playing out. Most important, the study predicts that a renewables-heavy mix of new generating capacity will be added to keep pace with rising demand for power. Total capacity is seen rising by 870 gigawatts, a staggering 72%, by 2040 under the base case and by similar amounts under the power crunch scenario, where a spike in data center demand spurs even more gas-fired projects and transmission constraints limit renewables growth, and a third scenario that spurs more carbon-free firm power from nuclear and geothermal plants. Solar capacity would see a nearly 6x increase, from 113 gigawatts last year to as much as 647 gigawatts in 2040, while onshore wind capacity more than doubles to about 320 gigawatts, offshore wind gains a roughly 60 gigawatts foothold in battery storage, much of it tied directly to solar and wind projects, skyrockets from 29 gigawatts to as much as 204 gigawatts. Coal-fired capacity falls by two-thirds, nuclear plus geothermal capacity inches up, and capacity from hydroelectric and other technologies inches down. As for natural gas-fired plants, the capacity increases from 491 gigawatts in 2024 to between 553 and 594 gigawatts in 2040, a gain of 62 to 103 gigawatts, or 13% to 21%, depending on the scenario. And the authors note that, with data center demand taking off, about half of the new gas plants are expected to come online between 2028 and 2033. That's dozens of new gas plants in just a few years' time. A typical new combined cycle plant, the most common and efficient type, has a capacity of about 900 megawatts, or 0.9 gigawatts. But while all that new gas-fired capacity might suggest a sizable increase in gas consumption by the U.S. electric sector, there's a catch: capacity doesn't necessarily translate to generation. According to the study, new solar and wind capacity added over the next 15 years, upward of 750 gigawatts, would be expected to provide the vast majority of incremental electricity. Gas-fired generation, on the other hand, would be mainly used to balance the ups and downs of renewable output, contributing a much smaller share of total generation. Also, with the rising demand for gas turbines and the pressure on supply chains, there may be challenges in securing needed equipment as quickly as developers want. As opposed to the capacity figures we just discussed, the actual generation of on-grid gas-fired plants in 2024 was 1,626 terawatt-hours, or 41% of the 3,993 terawatt-hours total. Under the study's base case for 2040, gas-fired plants will generate slightly less electricity than they did last year, 1,578 terawatt-hours, or 28% of the 5,568 terawatt-hours total. Solar and wind, in turn, contributed a total of 708 terawatt-hours last year, 490 terawatt-hours of onshore wind, 217 terawatt-hours of solar, and 1 terawatt-hours of offshore wind, or 18% of the 2024 total, but will contribute an estimated 45%, or 2,528 terawatt-hours, under the 2040 base case. But wait, solar and wind are only intermittent sources of power, right? They sure are. Large-scale solar in the U.S. has an average capacity factor of only 25%, and onshore wind has a capacity factor of about 35%, more than 40% for many newer projects in Texas and the Great Plains, but less than 30% elsewhere. That has two implications. First, that installed capacity would have to be 3 to 4 times more than expected generation, and, if that happens, then second, the massive amounts of new solar capacity to be added over the next 15 years will seriously erode the need for gas-fired power during daylight hours, when solar is producing power, and the new wind capacity will do the same, day and night, when the wind is blowing. Part of the dream also is that a lot of the solar and wind power that will be surplus to the electric grid's minute-by-minute needs will be socked away in all that new battery storage being planned, further reducing the need for gas-fired generation. We've written about the challenges there previously. See Tell It Like It Is, and they will also be the focus of a future blog. The study's two other scenarios for 2040, power crunch and power crunch with more nuclear and geothermal plants, see gas-fired generation increasing, but not by much, 1,801 terawatt-hours, an increase of 11% from 2024 levels, and 1,701 terawatt-hours, an increase of 5%, respectively. Under all three scenarios, renewables would take center stage during the 2030s. Electric grid operators will turn to solar and wind first, when available, as well as low-cost, around-the-clock nuclear. Gas-fired plants, in turn, would be used primarily to fill in the ever-shifting gap between total power demand and what solar, wind, and nuclear can provide. The highly efficient combined cycle plants that have been built over the past few years, and the new combined cycle plants now being planned, can typically operate at between 40% and 100% of their rated capacity, making them ideal complements to variable output solar and wind. If the study's favorable outlook for renewables proves to be accurate, what would it mean for gas demand from the power generation sector? According to the Energy Information Administration, or EIA, and others, the U.S.'s gas-fired generation fleet consumes about 7.42 BCF, on average, to produce 1 terawatt-hour of electricity, which means on-grid gas plants, i.e., those not located behind the meter, consumed about 12,064 BCF of gas in 2024, 7.42 BCF times 1,626 terawatt hours equals 12,064 BCF. That would work out to just over 33 BCF per day. Note that the EIA's numbers put lower 48 gas demand for 2024 slightly higher than the CI estimate, at 35 BCF per day. If, as CI Consulting forecasts, gas-fired generation slips to 1,578 terawatt-hours in 2040, the base case, gas consumption for on-grid power would drop to 11,709 BCF, or 32 BCF per day, not exactly what many oil and gas producers and pipeline owners have been banking on. Under the study's two other scenarios, gas use for on-grid power would rise, but only to 13,363 BCF, 36.6 BCF per day, under the power crunch scenario, and 12,621 BCF, or 34.6 BCF per day, under power crunch with more nukes and geothermal. The Trump factor. On January 20, the first day of his second term, President Trump ordered a moratorium on new offshore wind projects and onshore wind projects on federal lands, as well as a review of all permits for projects in advanced stages of development. The president also paused approvals for new solar projects on federal land, and Republicans in Congress are considering a possible rollback in tax incentives for wind and solar projects. All that suggests that the study's outlook for massive renewables development over the next 15 years may be overly optimistic. Add to that the Trump administration's efforts to encourage natural gas production and gas pipeline development, both of which support the view that more gas will be available. There are at least another couple of factors at play, however. One is that the states play a major role in determining which new pipelines and power plants get permitted, and not all states are as pro-gas as President Trump. The other is that there's already a huge backlog of power plant equipment orders, and the pace of plant development may slow as a result. So where does that leave us? First off, the CI Consulting study does throw at least a little cold water on the widely held view that domestic gas use will rocket higher through the 2030s. On the other hand, the times and the political winds are changing, and the study's optimistic outlook for renewables withers to at least some degree when you consider the Trump administration's pro-gas/anti-renewables stance. As we see it, it's best to plan for a significant bump up in gas demand for power over the next few years, but at the same time to closely track what President Trump and Congress say and do. Only Happy When It Rains was written by Garbage and appears as the third song on Garbage's debut album, Garbage. The song was written by the band and Garbage guitarist Steve Marker's basement recording studio in Madison, Wisconsin. The lyrics are a parody of the Bleak songs Full of Onks that were popular in the early 1990s. A video directed by Samuel Bayer was shot in a warehouse with the band in Los Angeles and received heavy rotation on MTV upon release. Released as a single in September 1995, the song went to number 16 on the Billboard Alternative Airplay chart and number 55 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. Personnel on the record were Shirley Manson vocals, guitar, Steve Marker guitars, bass samples, loops, Duke Erickson guitars, keyboards, six-string bass, fuzz bass, and Butch Vig, drums, percussion loops, noise, EFX. The album Garbage was recorded between April 1994 and May 1995 at Smart Studio in Madison and was produced by Garbage. Released in August 1995, it went to number 20 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 2X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Five singles were released from the LP. Garbage is an American rock band formed in Madison in 1993 by Butch Vig, Steve Marker, Duke Erickson, and Shirley Manson. The lineup in the band hasn't changed since its formation, with all four band members involved in the songwriting and production of their music. The group has released seven studio albums, an EP, three compilation albums and 37 singles and has sold more than 17 million records worldwide. Garbage has won two Brit Awards and an MTV Video Music Award. Their next studio album, Let All That We Imagine Be the Light, is slated for release in May and will be accompanied by a U.S. tour that will begin in May and run through October.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.